Today's shiur is Masechta Machlokes Daf Vav. We will begin Daf Vav Amud Aleph right at the Gemara, Amar Rava. We had learned in the previous shiur that if there's a whole group of Edom that say testimony and one of them becomes disqualified, that disqualification affects the entire group. Comments Rava, when is that then apply? That if they all started their testimony, of the other testimony. Meaning, many times in halacha, and we'll discuss this in a moment more, there's a concept of a shear of Tarek Dei Dibur. A machlaikis of Tarek Dei Dibur is the shear to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, or the time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Yemairi. In order for all of these Edom to be combined, it has to be a situation that they set Edus Tarek Dei Dibur one of the other. So Tosfos points out that the Gemara's discussion here, this halacha, is referring to Edom Zomimim. That, as I just said at the beginning of the shiur, that if there's a group of people who are Edom coming together, if one is disqualified, it affects all of them. When is the group considered one group? If they all said Edus Tarek Dei Dibur of one of the other. Why? But regarding Kar of Apostle, Tosfos says the halacha would be different. And Tosfos explains why. Tosfos says Edom Zomimim are liars. So it wasn't that they all together saw an event, because it never happened. So what combines them into being a group? They're talking. They're saying whatever testimony or whatever they're trying to say. So Al Gemara is saying, if we want their words to be considered one unit, all of their words had to have been said, Tarek Dei Dibur, one of the other. However, if it's Kar of Apostle, who actually saw the event, there, we don't have to have that they were Tarek Dei Dibur of each other. The fact that they were all seeing the same event at the same time, that serves to combine them, and the halacha of Rava doesn't apply. Rashi seems to disagree. And Rashi says, under all circumstances, this halacha, that we want to consider them one group, that you have to have Tarek Dei Dibur, applies both to the halacha of Edom Zomimim or Kar of Apostle. Even though the Shach, in explaining the opinion of Rashi, tries to explain that Rashi would actually agree with Tosfos. So as I said, the shear of Tarek Dei Dibur is the shear to say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Meiri, or Shalom Alecha Rebbe. The Achronim ask, when we make determination of this shear, do we look at every person saying, some people speak quicker, some people speak slower. So when we speak about Shalom Alecha Rebbe, do we determine it based on the amount of time it takes this specific individual to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe? Or do we follow one uniform amount of time that's the average time it takes to say these words, and we don't look at every individual specifically? Furthermore, there's a very interesting question that the Chiezer, Rav Chaim Oizer, asks. Rav Chaim Oizer asks, how does the halacha look at Tarek Dei Dibur? Does the halacha look at the Tarek Dei Dibur as follows? Really, when you finish saying something or doing something, it's finished. But Chazal gave you an extension, Tarek Dei Dibur, the amount of time it takes to say those words, that you could still retract. Or does the halacha look at it differently? The halacha says that you didn't finish when you finished. You finished after the time that you finished, plus the amount of time it takes to say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Meiri. I saw a questioner, Yitzchak Zilberstein, discusses this question, where this issue is Negeil Aloch Lemaisa. Let's say it's a rainy, cloudy day, and someone is in his house, and he hears a roar, and he thinks that it's a thunder, and he makes a bracha. But it actually wasn't a thunder, it was just a plane going overhead making noise. But Tarek Dei Dibur of his mistake, a thunder does come. Does the bracha that he made have to be repeated or not? What is the question based on? How do we look at Takanei Dibur? So there's actually a raya to this question, because the Gemara says that let's say someone is sitting next to someone who's very, very ill, and he thinks that that person expired, and he tears kriya, and actually the person didn't die at that moment. But he dies immediately after. He dies Takanei Dibur of his ripping kriya. The halacha is that it's considered as if he ripped kriya properly. When he ripped kriya, the person wasn't dead, because Takanei Dibur extends the time in both directions that it should be considered one long time. So again, says the Gemara, when we speak about them being considered one unit in our Mishnah, it's only v'hu she'idu kulam v'takadei dibur. Amalei Rav Achim adifta l'ravinei. Let's try to understand this. Michti. Takadei dibur hechidami. What is the shear that's considered takadei dibur? As we said, k'dei she'el tamad l'rav. The amount of time it takes to say shalom alecha Rebbe or shalom alecha Rebbe Meiri. So ask the Gemara, may it tuva hava. Our Mishnah speaks about 100 witnesses. So certainly, from the time that the first witness says his testimony until the 100th witness says his testimony, there's a lot longer of a span than the time of Takadei Dibur. So shouldn't that automatically be a concern in understanding a Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says that all of them are considered one unit. And if Rava says that all of them have to say their testimony, Takadei Dibur, how would we be able to understand this? Amalei. So he responded, when Rav said that it has to be Takadei Dibur, it doesn't mean all of them have to be Takadei Dibur of each other. What rather it means is, Kol chad v'chad b'Takadei Dibur shel chaveri. That means that there shouldn't be a span of longer than Takadei Dibur between the first aid and the second aid, and so too between the second aid and the third aid, and so on. As long as we never have a break longer than the shear of Takadei Dibur, it can be considered one big unit. Rav Kiva Meleba Shlishi Umash 9. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Papa Labaya. If we're learning, ask the Gemara, that according to Rav Yossi, that as soon as somebody witnesses an event, he becomes an aid. So ask the Gemara, if somebody was murdered, so the individual who's murdered obviously saw the event. You can't have a murder without a victim. So the victim, according to the opinion of Rav Yossi, automatically becomes an aid. And he's a partial aid for many different reasons the Rishonim give. One reason is because he's a negei bedavar. It involves himself. He's the victim. Another issue with him is that he is a karev. He's related to himself. And he's the victim here. Another problem with him is he's a sinai. Obviously, if somebody murders someone, the victim is an enemy of his murderer. Others explain that a victim automatically becomes a trefa, somebody who can't survive. And a trefa is possible to be an aid. So the Gemara's question is that according to Rabbi Yossi, if someone is involved, if somebody witnesses an event, he automatically becomes an aid. So how could, and therefore if he's a possible aid, he disqualifies, as we just learned, the entire group. So how could we ever have a kosher aidus? Or how will we ever have a murder trial? Answers the Gemara. It's referring to the situation he was killed from the back, and he wasn't able to see who the murderer was, and therefore he's not automatically a witness. Ask the Gemara, Nerva Yatzel. And again, as Tosfos explains the Gemara's question, if someone was sodomized, he participated in an act of Mishkav Zachar, and he did so willingly, so he will never be able to be an aid because he's a Rasha. And how could he ever, and he automatically becomes part of these events. He saw what's happening. So how will we ever have such a trial? El Ma'ata asked the Gemara Nirva Yatzel. And says the Gemara again, Shurhar Gamecharif. So ask the Gemara, fine. The victim doesn't necessarily always see what's happening. But the perpetrator certainly knows what he's doing and certainly sees what he's happening. And again, if we're following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yossi says that whoever is there automatically becomes an aid, so then we have a problem. The murderer or the sodomizer, they saw what they're doing. They're clearly possible, whether because they're Risham, whether because they're Negei and Bedover, whatever psul you want to come up with, so why, how can we ever have a trial? And obviously, as Mefarsh explained, what the Gemara's question, the way to understand the Gemara's question is, we certainly can't have a circumstance that we'll never have a case of a din Torah. The Torah wouldn't have given us these pashyas in the Torah if we can never fulfill them. Ishtik. He remained silent. Says the Gemara, Kiyasul kamei de Rava, when he came back to Rava, he said, Yokim dover, b'mekaymi dover akos v'davar. And there are two ways of understanding this Gemara. One way of explaining the Gemara is that even if somebody, even according to Rabbi Yossi, if somebody saw an event, but he doesn't come as an aid to testify, then he's not considered an aid. So if the sodomizer, or the murderer, or the victim didn't come to say what happened, they don't disqualify the rest of the group. The problem with this pshat is that if a murderer or a sodomizer or anybody knows this Gemara, so he'll be smart enough to say, I want to be an aide, and I'll be able to get off the hook because he disqualifies the entire group. So I saw other Rishonim explain the Gemara differently. They explain that in any event which leads to the Torah, there are different people that play different roles. Some people play the role of an aide, and some people play the role of being a participant in what happened, a perpetrator, a victim. You can't have more than one part. You can't have more than one role. And what the Pasuk is teaching us is that the people who were the participants in the event, whether it was the person who did the act or was the victim of the act, they already have a role. They're already playing a part here. The part that they're playing is that they were the victim or the perpetrator. You can't be a victim or a perpetrator and be an aide. So even though they did see what happened, and according to Rabbi Yossi, anybody that sees automatically becomes an aide, that's only in a situation that they don't have a different role to play. But when they're playing already a different role of being an aide, of being a victim or a perpetrator, they can't anymore be an aide. Because Rabbi Yossi said, Ma yasu shnei achim. Because we have a problem, says Rabbi Yossi, well, every time two brothers see something, will that mean that the entire group will become disqualified and that person can't be tried? Ask the Gemara, Hecha Aminalu. Exactly how do we know if a person was interested in being an aide or the person was not interested in being an aide? Amar Rav Hocha Aminalu. We say to these relatives who were there, Lemechsia Sisu, when you saw this event, were you just spectators, or a sudi asisu, or did you intend to be witnesses? I amri la sudi asu, if they're going to say that we intended to be witnesses, then indeed the halach is, nims achmem kar apostle, the halach is, edusim b'teila. However, I amri la maxi asu, if they say all we were intended to do here was just see what's happening, but we didn't intend to be edim, as the Mishnah taught us, Mayasa Shnei Achim Shurah Be'echad Charagas Nefesh. So Tosfos asks, obvious question. He says, if so, every time there's an act where somebody can be put on trial, relatives will come and say, we saw, and we intended to be Adam, and like that, they'll get their relative off the hook. So, there are two pshatim how to explain this. The Shach takes a very interesting approach in answering Tosfos' question. Shach says, just because a relative comes to Beis Din and says, you know, I was there when this act happened, and therefore, and I intended to be an aide, and therefore I disqualified the entire group, he has to bring Adam that he was actually there. Just coming and making a claim isn't good enough. And therefore, it isn't such a great concern. Tosfos, because of this question, has a whole different pshat in the Gemara. Tosfos says, it's not that we ask the relatives, did you intend to be an aide? And if they say, yes, we intended to be an aide, automatically that will disqualify the entire group. Tosfos says, we asked the kosher aidim, did you intend to merge yourself with the rest of these group of people, included in this group of people, our relatives and other disqualified individuals that would disqualify you too? Or you never intended to include yourself with the rest of the individuals, and therefore, even though they might have intended to be Adam, that doesn't change your qualification to be Adam. Which opens itself up to this fundamental discussion here. Here we're saying that if relatives are witnessing an event, then they could disqualify the entire group. So So this question comes up by every wedding. Certainly by a wedding, there are relatives, parents, brothers, sisters, other relatives, who obviously watch the chuppah. And we know that a kedushin requires edim. So how could edim, how do we have kosher edim by a wedding when we have all these people who are relatives, and how Mishnah teaching us, nimtza echmem, karv apostle, if one of them is disqualified, it disqualifies the entire group. So according to the pshat that Tysus just discussed, we have some sort of an approach. Because Tysus teaches us, this is the way the Tzais explains what Tysus says, that if they intend to be edim, the two kosher edim, intend to be edim to the exclusion of everyone else, so they will be edim, and they don't form as a group with the rest of the people. And that's why it's very many people have the minigam and sadri kedushin, that they tell the edim under the chuppah, we're appointing you to be edim to the exclusion of everyone else. Why? Because we know that there are other people there who are disqualified, that would disqualify even the kosher edim, so we meyached them to be kosher edim. But the Rishonim give other explanations why this question is not such a serious question. One is because the relatives have no intention of being edim, so if they have no intention of being edim, they don't become edim. Furthermore, even if they intend and they watch, but if they don't actually come to Bezdin to say they're edis, some Rishonim suggest that they wouldn't have the ability to disqualify the entire group. So Al Gemara actually taught us a very big chiddush. Al Gemara just taught us a chiddush that if somebody is to be an aid, he has to have intention to be part of the edis. Otherwise, he's not an aid. Says the Rambam, chiddush to the Rambam. That's only as far as the halacha that we're learning here is concerned. Meaning that we have a group of people that saw an event, and amongst the group of people who saw the event is somebody who's a karav or apostle. So Mishnah, Al Gemara, an explanation of the Mishnah is now teaching us, they only would disqualify the entire group if they intended to be edim. If they didn't intend to be edim, they don't disqualify the other people. So Pashup shot in the Gemara, it seems, that if somebody doesn't intend to be an aid, he can't be an aid. And if somebody saw something, but he didn't intend to say testimony and be an aid, he can no longer be an aid to that event. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says that as far as Al Gemara is concerned, as far as disqualifying the entire group, indeed that is the halacha. But as far as the question of being able to say testimony, as long as you saw, you could say testimony. So the Mefarshim ask on the Rambam, the Gemara says, the Masechta Krisus, Vu Eid, Achi Skaven Lohaid. So a person has to have intention to say testimony. And without that intention, he can't be an aid. So how will the Rambam explain that Gemara? So Rav Baruch Tam explains it as follows. He says there are two types of people in the world. There are people that they see an event happening, and they don't want to get involved, they just keep on walking. They see something, but they really have absolutely no intention of wanting to see or wanting to know. They just want to mind their own business. And then there are people that are not necessarily intending to be witnesses, but they do stop to see and know what's going on. Says Rav Baruch Tam, the Gemara Masechta Krisus that says that if you have no intention to be an aid, you can't be an aid, is talking about the person that's not interested in getting involved. He's walking further. Yes, what he saw. But that person, since he had absolutely no intention of watching what happening, such an individual can no longer be an aid. Whereas the Rambam is referring, he says, to an individual, he maybe didn't have an intention to be an aid, but he did have intention to see what's happening. And he stopped to watch. Such a person, even though he didn't have an intention to be an aid, could still come and say testimony. Itma, continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Yudah Mishmul, Aloch Kreb Yoisi, Rav Nachman says, however, the halacha is correct. Says the Mishnah. If two Edim saw something from one window, and another two people see from another window, and we have somebody in the middle saying Hasra, one of them in the middle saying Hasra, says the Mishnah. If people from the two windows saw each other, it's considered one group, and all the halachas that we learned about one group, that if somebody's disqualified or somebody's Muslim, it affects the entire group, will be applicable. And therefore, says the Mishnah, if one of them becomes disqualified, If they're not seeing each other, they remain two separate groups. Ask Tosfos, if we have here two separate pairs of Edom, and teaching us that, and they each see the event, why does the Mishnah have to teach us that the person giving the warning is sitting in the middle? What's the point of that? So Tosfos brings down two answers. One answer, Tosfos says, that the Mishnah is teaching us that how will the two pairs of Edom become aware of each other? We have two people looking out of this window, and two people looking out of this window, how do they become aware of each other? Says the Mishnah, because there's somebody in the middle who sees both of them, and he's the one to tell them about each other. That's one teretz Tosfos gives. Then Tosfos gives another teretz. He says in the name of Mashiach. Apparently there was a Rishon called, they called Mashiach. And he quotes Mashiach as saying that the reason the Mishnah speaks about the Master Be'emtza is to teach us that the Tanna Kamma disagrees with Rabbi Yossi. Because we're going to learn now in a moment that Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that who we've learned many times that in order to be chayiv, you have to have asra. But Rabbi Yossi's opinion is who has to give that asra? Specifically, the person who are Edom. You can't have two people, one being an Edom, one being giving asra. It's the Edom who have to give that asra. Teaches us the Tanna Kamma that he doesn't hold that way. And it could be Edom is. Could be one group, and asra could be given by somebody else, and it still will be considered a full-fledged aveira. Rabbi Yossi Omer, as I just said, lo'olam ein arogim ad she'shnei edim masrim bo. The edim themselves have to give that asra. Shnema api shnei edim has to be api on through their mouth. Dover achar, we learn from the pasuk of pnei shnei edim shlei tisahen v'shemas mipi atrogimim. Bezin has to hear directly from the people in the Dentira, they can't hear through an interpreter. And there's a debate amongst the Rishonim as to why. Some Rishonim explain, because that's what the Pasuk says, Apishne, you have to hear it directly from the mouth of the Edom. Other Rishonim explain the reason being differently. If you're going to hear it from the interpreter, you're not going to hear directly what the Edom say. And you're not going to be able to question the Edom directly, because obviously you don't speak or understand that language. You're going to have to do everything to an interpreter. And you don't get the real flavor without knowing exactly what the Edom said. And therefore, the Dayanim have to speak that language. What's the nafkamina between the two Peshatim? So Mepharshim say a very simple nafkamina. What would be the halacha if indeed not all of the members of the Sanhedrin speak this other language, but some of the members speak another language? Do we say that that's good enough? Yes, because we want the Dayanim to be able to communicate directly with the Edom. And we have Dayanim that have the ability to communicate directly with the Edom. But if we say that the halacha, that in order for a Dayan to be able to be a Dayan, or for an aid to be an aid, the Dayan has to hear it directly from the aid, so the fact that there are members of the Sanhedrin that speak this language wouldn't help the other members of the Sanhedrin and would not be valid in Torah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zutra Batovya Amar Rav, Menayin le'edus miyuchedus shu pasul. How do we know that psula? How do we know that if somebody's standing by one window and somebody's standing by another window, these two people can't combine? Because the pasuk says, "Layomas api eid echad." So what does echad mean? Asked the Gemara. Ilema eid echad mamish. If we're going to say that the pasuk come to teach us that a single witness is not good enough, asked the Gemara. Shmina lo. That we already know from the beginning of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk says, "Api shnei eidim." Elamai echad. What does it mean? Echad, elmai echad, echad, echad. Did you have two Edom, but they didn't stand at the same place and see it, then they're not considered a group, a pair, to be Edom. And the Mepharshim point out that this is only as far as Dine and the Nefashis are concerned. However, as far as Dine and Mominus are concerned, you can't have two people who weren't together combined to be a pair. And I saw in the Rishonim two explanations as to why. One explanation I saw in the Rishonim is because it's no worse than, let's say, I hear you admit that you owe somebody $100. And then somebody else hears you admit that you owe someone $100. Can I and this other individual combine to be Edom? The Rishonim say, absolutely yes. So we see that for us, Hilchos Dinei Mominus, we don't have to have this din. Dor Sameach explains this a little more lomdish. He explains as follows. And Rashi Meach says that when two people come to speak about Dini Nefashos, their testimony really has two dimensions. One dimension is that they're repeating and telling us what they saw happen. But there's really another dimension to their testimony. The other dimension to their testimony is that they're coming to say that this person is Chayiv Misa. And you can't be Chayiv Misa, as we know, without two Edim. So unless we have them coming together as a group, there is no Chayiv Misa. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Nami Hochi, La Yomas Api Erechot, La Havi Shnaim Shuraim Oysoi, Echad Mechaloin Zeh, Vechad Mechaloin Zeh, Vein Roin Zeh Zeh, they don't see each other, Shem It Starfin. Continues the Gemara. Not only if they did not stand at the same window, can they not combine? Even if they were not there at that window at the same time, aim it starfin. If in a situation where the two people are standing at two separate windows, the high kachazi kulamaisa, this person is seeing the entire event. The high kachazi kulamaisa, and this person is seeing the entire event. Amrit loy mitzdarfi, they can't combine. So certainly in a situation where it was a consecutive situation, where one saw part of the act and one saw the other part of the act, the high chazip agamaisa, the one aid only saw half of what happened. The high chazip agamaisa, and the other aid only saw half of what happened. What does the Bryce have to teach us? That they can't combine? Certainly they can't combine. They didn't see the same act. They didn't see a complete act. Answer the Gemara, Amalei le nitzchei lebayis ever. It's referring to a situation where there was a person having prohibited relations, and each one saw that happening. So they don't have to see it at the exact same moment. They both saw that happening. Because the Braisa, since they didn't see it at the exact same moment, they cannot combine to be a pair. Amarava. Imhaya Royanas Amasra. However, if the Adam saw the person who is giving Hasra, again, going back to the opinion of the Tanakhama, that the opinion of the Tanakhama is it doesn't have to be the same person who sees who's the aid to be giving the warning, or Hamasa Roy Aysan, or the person giving the warning is able to see them, the Aloch is Mitztafer. That combines them into one group. So as to Rishonim, we have a very difficult thing to understand. Yes, we'll have two Edim saying testimony that this happened. But without Hasra, as we know, nothing happens. And only one person gave Hasra. So it turns out that we're going to kill this individual based on one person's testimony, the testimony of the Master himself. How could that be acceptable? So Rishonim explained that when the Gemara says here, the Mishnah says, that one Master is enough, and it doesn't have to be the Edom, according to the opinion of Tanakhama, there have to be two Edom that could say that we saw the Master give the Asra. So we're not relying completely on the testimony of that one individual of the Master. We're actually relying on two Edom testifying that we heard and saw the Master give Asra. Amarava, Master Sha'amra, when we speak about the Master, a filim pi atzmai, doesn't have to be an individual, again, following the opinion of Tanakhama, a filim pi ashay. Before Hashem explained, what does it mean, a filim pi atzmai? I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that the person, terrible story, as he's doing this aveira, makes an announcement and says, I know what I'm doing is osir, I know what I'm doing carries with it a chiv misa, and I'm still doing it. Or, it means that he was starting to do this act, and people were about to approach him to warn him that what he's doing is prohibited. And he says, you don't have to tell me. I know it's usher, and I'm going to do it anyway. Both of these are considered master piatzma. Amar of Nach. So before we go further, the Mefarshim ask a question. Here we're learning that as long as they see each other, or they have the master to combine each other, the halacha is they could combine to be one pair. They're considered one unit. There's a question that comes up. We learned the sugya in Masechet Brachos that the Hilchos Ketanos discusses this. What would be the halacha if you have two groups? You have one person sitting in one place and another person sitting in another place. They don't see each other, But let's say they have a waiter, a common waiter that serves both of them. Could those two people, or three people actually, we would need, combine to be one group for Zimun? The halacha is that they can't. So the question is, why do we treat Zimun differently than Eidus? The Hebrew was saying that the fact that they see the Masra, or certainly if they see each other, they could combine. Why over here don't they not combine? So the Aruch HaNes has a very beautiful explanation. He says, the halacha of Zimun and the halacha of Eidus work with very different concepts. Zimun works with the concept that they had to be in one place. So just because there's a person that sees all of us, the waiter, that doesn't make it to one place. They have to actually be in one place. Eidus is not a question of place. Eidus is to create a unit. It's much easier to create a unit than to create a place. Says the Gemara, Aram Nachman, Eidus miyuchad k'sher b'dini mamnes, t'ksiv layumas api erechot. B'dini nefashis points out Rav Nachman, who the k'sher k'shera, if they didn't see the same event from the same place at the same time. Avadini minas, t'alochu b'k'shera. Ask the Marmaskul of Mazutra, El Matu B'dini nefashis, tatzel. If this is the halacha, then the halacha ought to be that if two Edom say if that's the case, that they're kosher, why could they be mitzdarf? Alam etnan v'huva hein erogim. Why did our Mishnah say that they're all put to death if they're not mitzdarf? So the Markashim. Rav Yossi, Amalei Papal Abaya. Rav Yossi in our Mishnah says, loyim hein erogim until you have the two Edom give us raw. Amalei Papal Abaya, ask for Papal Abaya. That the same person has to be the person giving the Eidus and giving that Srah, but Tanan, Rabbi Yosef Abba Hassani Nerek, Neshi Kumud, Hassani that says, we're going to learn in the next parak very soon, that he killed somebody, that Bishoigig, the halacha is that he's not treated with the din of Golis, he's considered like an intentional murderer, because he's considered a Mu'ud, because of this poor relationship that exists between him and the victim. Neshikumura Musra. So here we're saying that you have to have the Edom giving Asra. And the absence of the Edom giving Asra, you don't have anything happen. And here it says that a Usaina doesn't require Asra at all. Amalei. So he responded, that Rabbi Yossi is not the same Rabbi Yossi as our Mishnah. Who Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda he? Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, Chavar Enet Tzrich Asar. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a Talmud Chacham doesn't require Asra. We only require Hasra to make a difference between Shagig and Mezit. And if the person is a Talmud Chacham, he on his own already knows that this the distinction, and there is no need for Hasra. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says that this is a part of the requirement of being aided. A person can't be an aid unless he gives Hasra. Dava Acher, we learned in the Mishnah, Pishnei Eidim, Shleitesh Sanhedrin Shemaz Mipiyat Turgman. Says the Gemara, Hani l'uzi d'asl kamei d'rova. There were these individuals that spoke only a foreign language. And they came to Rava by Eden Torah. Uki Rava Turgman ben Nayu. So Rava went and appointed an interpreter to be between them. Asked the Gemara, Veichi Avir Hachi, how could Rava have done so? V'tanan shaloi teheis and hadn shemas mi piya Turgman. And there's a machlokes in the Rishonim, how to understand who these Lu'uzi were. And that machlokes really reflects back to what I discussed in the Mishnah. Some Rishonim explain that the Lu'uzi were the Edom. Some Rishonim explain that the Lu'uzi weren't the Edom, that the Lu'uzi were the actual litigants. What is the machlokes based on? It goes back to the explanation that we gave in the Mishnah, why is it that somebody who, I don't understand his language, I can't be a dayan? One explanation we gave in the Mishnah was because you have to have mipi Edom. You have to hear the Edom themselves. Anything else is not fine. If that's the case, here wouldn't be a problem because they weren't the Edom. They were the litigants. So we have to explain that these Lu'uzi were the Edom. The other explanation was because if you don't understand exactly what's being said, you can't be a fair dayan because there's a lot that comes with the way it's said and how it's said. If that's the case, that halacha would not be limited to Edim. The halacha would be the same for the Baladinim. If I want to be a dayan in a case, I have to be able to pick up clearly what they're saying, and it wouldn't make a difference if it's the Edim or it's the Baladinim. Ask the Gemara again. Answers the Gemara. Rabbi made Yidah Madahava. He was able to understand the language. It's only Vahaduri Dlaviyad he wasn't able to respond. Says the Gemara. Ila Vatuvya craved the Arvahava. Ilya and Tuvya were called to be a case. They were Edim. They were not relatives of the actual Malvin Loiva. They were relatives of the guarantor. Sova Rapop Lameima. Gaba Loiva Malva Rechikininu. And the Rishonim have two ways of explaining this Gemara too. One way of explaining the Gemara is the simple way of explaining the Gemara. They were relatives of the guarantor, and we're referring to a situation that the loiva has money. So the possibility that the guarantor should be called, that he would have to pay this loan, were very remote. Because the loiva, Baruch Hashem, if he's indeed obligated to pay the loan, had the ability to pay the loan. And that's why Rava said their relationship to the Arav has no impact on their testimony, and they should be kosher. That's one way of explaining the Gemara. Another way of explaining the Gemara, the Rishonim work with this Mahalach, is that perhaps we should say Palgid and Dabura, and we should accept them regarding their testimony for the Loiva, and we can't accept them for their testimony regarding the Arif. But as far as the Loiva is concerned, or as far as the Malv is concerned, they're not related to them, and they should be able to say testimony. Amle Rav Huna Bered Yeshula Rapapa, Ilesle Laloiva. Isn't it not that if the loiva would not have the ability to pay, la basa arva azul, isn't the halacha that we go after the guarantor, la basa arva azul malva, doesn't the malva go to the arv, and that's why they're considered related and possible to be aidim. Again, the simple way of understanding the Gemara is as remote as the possibility is that they will be called, there is always that possibility. We don't know what's going to happen in a minute from now, and that's why they should be considered Noigim Medover, Apostle Kriven. Another pshat that I saw is going back to the other question that we said, Palgin and Debura. So why don't we say here, Palgin and Debura? So the Ravid says a very bechidish. The Ravid says that even though in other areas of Halacha we say Palgin and Debura, when it comes to Edus, we can't say Palgin and Debura. You can't take a testimony and break it in two. In other words, the way the Mepharshim explained the opinion of the Ravid. If somebody comes in and says, famous Gemara Masechet Ksuvos, Pliny Ravani L'Onsi. Pliny Ravani. Somebody sodomized me. So that we have the ability of turning this into two separate statements. That person did an act of sodomy, but that I was the participant, we don't believe Ein Adam Eis Matan Rosha. We could divide it. Because there he's not saying a testimony. As far as Hilchos Eidos is concerned, there's one testimony, and you can't start breaking apart pieces of testimony, and that's why here we can't apply the concept of Palgin and Debura, and if they have any issue of being Krivim, it would disqualify them entirely.